This episode of GeoMob is supported by the Open Geospatial Consortium, or OGC. If you work with maps, location data, digital twins, Earth observation, mobility, AI, or really anything geospatial, there's a good chance you're already benefiting from work happening inside the global OGC community, even if you don't realize it. OGC brings together people from across industry, open source, academia, startups, and government around the world to work through the practical challenges of getting systems and data to work together better. They recently launched individual membership, which gives independent developers, researchers, practitioners, and generally curious geospatial people a way to get more directly involved in the community, conversations, working groups, events, and collaborative projects happening across OGC. You can learn more at ogc.org. Now, on to the episode.
Welcome to the GeoMob podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hello, Stephen. Good to see you.
Hi, Ed. Good to see you too.
What are we discussing today, Stephen? We have a lot of updates.
We've got an absolute overload of GeoMob events. It's becoming difficult to even remember all the events that have happened in the last couple of weeks because there's so many of them.
It's true.
Which is down to all the wonderful people who organize them more than it is down to you and me.
This is true. Shall we take them in order, or shall we maybe let's do some let's do updates for our projects first. Anything new at Mapperry?
Not really. I mean, we're still going, which is amazing, and we're still getting a post a day, and we're still getting submissions. So yeah, no, Mapper is fine, and my map gallery keeps growing. And surprisingly, Ed, because you asked me a while ago, does anybody look at these maps? And the answer was not really. Just I do them for myself, and a few of my friends look at them. But recently, I've been getting some quite surprisingly high usage figures.
Well, Stephen, no doubt, because we did feature your map gallery in the monthly newsletter that went out on June 1st. Yeah. So actually, I do have a bit of comment on the newsletter that we should mention. Two points. First of all, for everyone out there listening, we have our monthly newsletter that usually goes out on the first of the month. We recently switched providers that we use for sending the newsletter. It used to be MailChimp, and now we've moved to Sender.net because, frankly, it was a bit more affordable. Anyway, as a result of this, some people have told me the newsletter is ending up in their spam folder. So if you're on the newsletter and you're not seeing it, please check your spam folder.
Right.
Second of all, we added a new feature to the newsletter where we, every month now, we'd like to feature someone from the community who is looking for a job. So we added kind of job seeker of the month. Next month's job seeker is set, but if you are looking for a job, if it's time for something new, please get in touch and, maybe we can feature you. So
great idea. And I had to say that with the shift from MailChimp to Sender, the newsletter's just looking a little bit better. I don't know what you've done or what Danny's done, but it's looking really good. There's some great content in there. Often I see it in my inbox, glance at it and file it. But I didn't. I read it this time, and it was really good. So well done.
Well, full credit goes to my colleague, Daniela, who takes the lead on the newsletter these days. So
yeah,
she also did the entire move to Sender. So thank you, Daniela.
Thank you, Daniela. Right. What's happening at OpenCage? Anything?
As you say, the same old, in the sense that, our customers pay us for just providing a reliable, steady service. There's always lots going on. One minor new product announcement. So, we're known for our geocoding API, but we also have this service that we call GeoSearch, which is a bit confusing, I know, but this is kind of auto-suggest, so kind of type ahead as you start typing. And to date, that service, we've only included kind of cities and towns and neighborhood names all around the world. And we recently added postcodes to that, which if we can do a whole episode, Stephen, where I can rant about the challenges of using postcodes to describe geography. But this was a much requested feature. And in fact, we had a substantial potential customer who really wanted it, and this was keeping them from becoming a customer. So they agreed to help fund some of the work, for which we're very thankful. And so that's live, so everyone can check it out and give that a play.
And just from my own little bit of vibe coding, Ed, and trying to build sort of search into a couple of the web maps that I've made, it's nothing like as easy as people might think it is, you know.
It's very complicated to build it something simple like that. And particularly when you're doing the entire world. I mean, one country or whatever, of course, you can do, but, you know, things are just very different all around the world.
And sometimes you want to exclude the type ahead being included within the string, and sometimes you don't want to exclude it. And it all gets much more complicated than people think. They think, oh, that should be really simple. Why doesn't it just work? So power to you guys.
The devil is in the details. So
don't we know it? Don't we know it? So let's talk about GeoMob.
Let's talk about GeoMob. We had the chance to meet up again several weeks ago, Stephen, in London.
We did, and it was a great event. And I'm just looking at the GeoMob website, and I'm glancing at the summary thread, and sure enough, my picture is on the front page.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Denise, two podcast hosts on the same picture.
All right, yes. Yeah, it was a fun event. Thank you to everyone who spoke. Thank you to our sponsors. For me, the standout talk had to be the pole bonk, though.
I mean, just the title.
Yes. So full credit to Heidi. She, of course, also won the... I was not alone, in my opinion. She won the best speaker prize.
By a country mile,
yes. Very funny talk. And for those that don't know about pole bonk, is the fact that basically maps... So first of all, we should set the context. Heidi works for something called the Arctic Research and Development. So obviously working on, for example, the North Pole or the South Pole.
Just the North Pole.
That's true, because it would be Antarctic. Exactly. Traditional maps do a terrible job of showing the North Pole, obviously.
And she showed us many examples. You've also got problems with coordinate systems as you get close to the North Pole.
Well, the real question, Stephen, in that regard is what time is it at the North Pole? Which time zone does it fall into?
All of them.
Correct. All of them. Yeah. So it obviously creates a lot of difficulties. In some ways, actually reminiscent. I remember a couple of years ago, we had that excellent talk about the anti-meridian and all the problems that the anti-meridian causes. Very similar kind of situation. So most interestingly about her talk at the end, it was kind of a request for help, saying, does anyone want to help her design a better map projection for the Arctic area? That jogs my memory. I need to put her in touch with Javier, who is a regular attendee in Berlin, who actually works on coordinate projections and has given several talks about that. So maybe that will be a fruitful collaboration that will improve all geospatial. So,
and I'm also minded. I went to the Geo Business Show in London, conference show, whatever, on Wednesday, the first day of that. And there was a panel discussion that I listened to. And Will Cadell, who's a friend of the podcast and has been on here a couple of times, he asked the question, why are we still rendering maps in a flat space? We've got all the capabilities of rendering maps in a hemispherical or a spherical space, right? And thinking about Heidi's pole bonk. You know, if you were rendering your maps in a sphere, you know, you wouldn't have the problems of the coordinate shifts and all of that. You'd be able to deal with the North Pole.
Why are we rendering anything, Stephen, instead of just injecting them directly into my retinas? You know, why? I mean, surely we can move forward.
Well, we can go further than that and get it into your brain cells before the retinas.
Exactly.
It was just a thought, you know, that maybe...
It is a good thought, yeah.
It is an interesting thought, and, when Will speaks, it's always worth listening. Right, so London was great. The pub was great.
London was great. Then of course,
the bar bill was great.
The what? Oh, the bar bill? Yes. Not insubstantial. Happily, we have a new sponsor in London. So I guess I should shout out our dear friends at Tensing, Avinian Tensing, who have joined us as a new annual sponsor in London.
Fantastic. Thank you,
so,
guys.
So thank you. But of course, we still need more sponsors. So if anyone else would like to get involved, please get in touch. But yes, and thank you to all of the existing sponsors as well, of course. So then we had our event in Canada, which neither of us attended, unfortunately. However, a few days ago, I recorded an episode with Bernie from GeoMob Fredericton, and that episode will probably air the week after this episode, where he takes us through kind of what went down at the first Canadian GeoMob. But then, Stephen, earlier this week...
Just pause for a minute, Ed. Was it last year that we had California?
Yes, it was 1 year ago.
It was spring of last year we had California. You know, now we've had Fredericton, which is Canada. You know, I mean, the map is growing. Well, the map's not growing, but the points on the bounding box of GeoMelb events is growing, to use a technical phrase. It's quite remarkable. You know, we've had all of these places cropping up and hopefully coming back, you know, and it all happens because people choose to run a GeoMob, you know. I mean, the thing is gaining momentum without us, for which we should be very proud.
Indeed, and actually, earlier this week, I mean, we're recording right now on Friday the 5th, and two nights ago, I got on a plane and I flew to Dublin.
You lucky guy.
And we had the first GeoMob in Ireland, in Dublin. And yes, it's all down to our local organizers who took the initiative and made it happen and found a venue and organized speakers. And Stephen, it was a fantastic event. Absolutely fantastic.
I bet.
I would say there are about probably 25 people or so. We had four talks. I was one of the speakers talking about geocoding, but the other three talks were all excellent, I would say. And also a very good mix. So after me, we had Brian, who he is a very, very long-time member of the OpenStreetMap community. He gave a fantastic talk, Stephen, about the challenges of local boundaries, particularly historic local boundaries in Ireland, where, they, particularly in the use case of, like, you know, for example, things like genealogy or whatever, where, and in many cases, you know, these type of historical records are typically through the church or whatever, but, you know, different churches would have different boundaries, so if you're in the Protestant community versus the Catholic community, but they would be referred to by the same name sometimes, even though they meant kind of different, slightly overlapping places. So, and he had all kinds of examples like this, and of course things have evolved and changed over the years many times, and it was really fascinating. Then we had a fascinating talk from a guy who works for the Dublin city government, local government, about how they're, you know, over the kind of the past 30 years, all the different ways that they've kind of thought about kind of 3D geographic models of the city to use in all aspects of kind of planning. That was very interesting. But then the final talk also was excellent. A guy named Ray, this is just his hobby project. And basically he took kind of two streets and he kind of tried to visualize what the changes that have occurred on these streets over the last 200 years. Wow. Both visually in terms of pictures, like he had a very, very fascinating slide where he had the same picture, a picture taken from the exact same spot, like 150 years apart. And some of the buildings, of course, are still there, and some things have changed significantly. But then also the census data, and you know, doing very good work at kind of visualizing this data and extracting the data and getting value out of it. Anyway, the point is, great talks, great mood at the pub afterwards, as you might think. And by coincidence, the event was held kind of a stone's throw away from the Guinness Brewery. So
that was tough.
So, yeah, I mean, it would have been rude not to sample it, which I did. Very, very fun evening, great crowd of people, good mixing and mingling, and hopefully the first of many. So full credit to Jenny and Dermot in Dublin for getting things going, and hopefully they can keep the momentum. So please, listener, if you are listening in Ireland, please get in touch with them, get involved. Let's get it going. They're hoping to have the next event sometime in the autumn. So, but of course we need some local sponsors. It sounded like they had a good lead on the venue and there was no shortage of people who were doing very interesting things to talk about. So, fantastic.
Wow. Fantastic. I need to get my travel pass updated so that I can get to some of these events. I've been less than active in traveling to GeoMobs, so I need to remedy that.
Well, first of all, of course, you have an open invitation to Berlin, Stephen, whenever you want. But the other, I mean, I do recommend for, you know, we have so many people listening in London, there's such a big community in London. I really do recommend hop on a train and go up to Edinburgh. They have a great events that I've been to one. And obviously Dublin is not that far away either. So make it happen.
Yeah.
But speaking of Berlin, the next Berlin event, we've decided to squeeze in one last Berlin event before the end of the year, because the last one was such a success. June 18th, the evening of June 18th. So get signed up. We have capacity for 100 people. As I'm speaking right now, I think we already have about 50 or 60 signups. So we have five very good talks on schedule. And the beer will be cold, so it should be a delightful summer evening. And then I think there's also going to be an event in Brussels later in June,
Brussels on the 23rd, and then it seems that the Northern Hemisphere bias of our events means that we're all going on summer holidays.
Yeah, it's a bit of a summer break until, let's see. I mean, you know, people pop up and want to have events, but I think probably then the next round of events will be kind of in the September timeframe, to include being back in London on September 16th. I think the speaker lineup there is also full.
With the added bonus that the old guy is coming out to speak again.
Let's see, Stephen, because you do realize, given that I spoke in Dublin, that, you know, it's another entry on the speaker list
on
for me.
On the speaker list, yeah. Well,
so you're going to have to keep up if you want to.
Yeah, not only that, but I've never won a prize solo.
Really? Didn't you win? Weren't you tied once?
I was tied, yes. And like a gentleman, I gave the prize to whoever it was that I was tied with. But
all right.
So, anyway, we'll see.
Well, you got to earn it. You got to earn it, Stephen.
Exactly. No freebies.
Actually, though, you know what? I was having a discussion at the last London GeoMob because, you know, I was sitting there talking with Heidi, who had won the best speaker prize. And then Siobhan came over, who had won from the previous event, you know, about her AI in New Zealand. Right. And so this got us discussing, maybe we need to have kind of a cup winner's cup where we have an event with only former best speaker winners.
Oh, that would be a good idea. Yeah.
We'll have to see if we can maybe organize that next year.
Talking about that, just reminds me, Siobhan gave... what will be a very memorable talk, the talk about Where's New Zealand?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, anyone who was there will never forget that talk. It was hysterically funny, and it was also very powerful in demonstrating the lack of spatial awareness of large language models.
Correct.
In February 2026. And I said in February because in May 2026, so 3, maybe 4 months later, the LLM that I'm using has developed a massive degree of spatial awareness compared to the position when Siobhan was describing it only a few months previously. Surprisingly good.
Okay.
I was mapping, I made this map of the places referred to in all of Shakespeare's plays.
All right.
And when I was looking at, and I won't go through all the details of how I made the map, it doesn't matter, but when I was looking at the results, there's a point in America, and there's a point in Mexico, and a point that looked like it was in the sea. And I'd been using your geocoding API, so I knew that the results would be reasonably accurate. And I couldn't understand what these points were doing over there. And so I asked Claude, and I shared a screenshot of the map. And it came back, oh, yes, that's right. Shakespeare refers to America as, it's a term that he uses for the New World.
Hmm.
There's a quote in Mexico. And then it gave me the quote of when Mexico is mentioned. And then there's another quote in one of the plays that mentions Guyana, and another one that mentions the West Indies. The point that I'm making, though, Ed, was that I just gave Claude a screenshot that showed these four pins over in the North American or the Americas, in the Americas, and it knew where they were sufficiently accurately to tie them back to the quotes from Shakespeare. And I thought that was pretty a remarkable degree of spatial knowledge.
That is actually impressive. I mean, that's the thing about AI, right? I mean, obviously, often it is completely amazing, and then occasionally it just is completely wrong. So, yeah. But in this case, obviously, also because of the visual aspect, you're able to quickly verify it and look at it. But the problem is, you know, in the case where if you're working on a topic you're not familiar with, can you verify it?
Of course
you can. Or fast forwarding ahead. I mean, I was just reading an article about, you know, is about kind of mathematics, the complete collapse of reasoning skills amongst undergraduate mathematics students who now for the last 2-3 years have just been like, just putting every question into AI.
Yeah.
And thus not doing, you know, you have to, you have to put in the work, and it's hours and hours of work to then build up those skills and those kind of mental muscles, right? And if you, there's no shortcut, really.
No.
And if you don't, then that for me is also one of the biggest issues. Where are we going to be in 10 years' time when you have a whole generation of people who are just used to just always using the AI. I mean, obviously I know people have said this in the past when calculators came out or whatever, but the difference is I heard a good discussion about that point is the difference is the calculator is deterministic. The AI is probabilistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but I think the key point at the moment, and it may change, is that if you don't know what's right, don't use AI.
Right.
And there will come a generation who won't know what's right. And if we haven't fixed the problems with AI by then, Lord help us.
Okay, so our official AI strategy has become prayer.
Well, I mean, you cannot avoid worrying about AI hallucination and people being able, at the moment we laugh at the hallucinations because they're obvious to us, or and that's fine. But as things get more complicated, it's going to get more and more difficult. And certainly, I mean, we've had this problem for a long time, though, Ed, and, you know, no one's really panicked about it. Once we started getting open data and high volumes of open data, particularly what I describe as the exhaust data from government, for example, you know, so where a government department releases some data as open data and then people use it. Nobody using that data or using the products made from that data has got any idea whether the data has been manipulated or changed.
That's true.
You know, we just, you know, you get a data set and it's got 500 rows, maybe you can look through it and spot a mistake. It's got 10,000 rows, you're almost certainly going to give up before you get to the end. It's got 100,000 rows, forget it. You're not even going to glance. You're just going to glance at the field names, and if they look right and the first values in the first couple of rows are right, you won't go any further.
Yeah, it's true.
And we're not worried about that. I mean, we say about OpenStreetMap, which is colossal, you know. I mean, I don't know how big it is, but it's billions of records or features or whatever, right? And we say it's remarkably accurate. We have no idea whether it's remarkably accurate. We rely on the many eyes philosophy, but the scale of it has got so large that we just don't know whether many eyes are actually checking the stuff.
Well, I can assure you at least some eyes are, because I hear it from my customers, but and I can assure you much of the data is very accurate, but yes, it's true. It is true. The thing is, we have to hope that at some point someone entered that data, hopefully with good intentions. Whereas, you know, when AI is creating the data, it's just, you know, there's no logic behind it. It's literally
I don't think AI is creating the data. I mean, I think AI is searching for data and then formatting it, processing it, conflating it, and all sorts of mistakes can happen there. I don't think the AI is deliberately hallucinating data.
No, of course not. Of course not. But my point is there's no intention behind it. The AI is just running an algorithm, and whatever happens, happens. So,
I've got a blog post coming probably next week, which will show what happens when people who don't know what's right use AI and then publish the product. But you'll have to wait for that.
All right. Well,
teaser.
That is a teaser. All right. I will be anxiously hitting refresh on your blog until it comes out.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Anything else we have to discuss, Stephen? I guess we're going to go. We have quite a lineup of episodes for the coming weeks and months. It might be a while before we chat again, I guess. Probably 6 weeks or so.
Well, we've got vacations and stuff like that. Deal with, you know, there has to be a time when you stop podcasting, stop blogging, stop eventing.
It is true. I mean, we have been on a bit of a run the last, at least I have been. I've been to, we had a GMO Berlin, then I was in Cologne, Berlin, Barcelona, London, Dublin, and now we're going to have Berlin again, so it would be time for a break after that. I've enjoyed all of them.
Good, good, good. Okay, shall we wrap it?
Let's wrap it. Have a good summer, everyone. We'll be back in a few weeks then. So, I hope to see everyone in Berlin.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.